step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 328. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined, as always and forever, by my co-host, Ms. Nicole Shiro, and also joined, on occasion, but today, by co-co-host, Ms. Ann Ciccolella. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Stay with us.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2015, on the show today. Our only guest, our special guests, are Austin Shakespeare and their production of Sunday in the Park with George by Stephen Sondheim. And of course, we'll have lovely and engaging talks and discussions, including news and views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago. We'll be back.
This is the difference. This kid is out.
Oh, this immigrant isn't somebody we chose. Oh, this immigrant's keeping us all on our toes.
Okay, how fun was that music?
I love the music.
Yes, it's and I've just got to start before we go anywhere. That's from Hamilton.
Yes.
I'm guessing people figured that out. The soundtrack should come out next week on the 27th.
Yeah.
There is a sneak peek that is available right now. I listened to the whole thing this morning.
And were you
the
jamming?
The WT.
Were you jamming?
I was jamming to the Hamilton. Okay. sorry. Let's see. Checking in with Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
You survived. You're don't be flustered. Don't be frazzled.
She's harried.
You're harried.
Oh my goodness.
You're wild about harried.
I normally sing this sometimes. I'm good. I've just been a little crazy and busy and,
okay.
You know, thought it'd slow down, but it didn't.
Well, all right. It
That's
never does.
That's not a bad thing.
It never slows down.
Nope.
It nunca slows down.
Yes.
Thank you to Remix for another wonderful show. Tracy Schultz always does wonderful and intriguing things.
Love Tracy.
He had a very gritty guest on today, didn't you think?
I did.
Yeah. So lots of grit. I want to remind folks that we have our segment Backstage at Offstage immediately follows this. So if you're listening here on the FM, you know what? You want to go, you might want to just pick up the podcast.
I would suggest that.
Backstage is only available on the podcast. And how do you get that podcast?
You can go to offstageonair.com, enter your email into the little box, and Lisa and Nicole appear.
Yeah, magically appear. Yeah, Thursday night, Friday morning. You can also find us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere else that you get your podcast listening stuff.
Yes, when you get down
your
with the
PLS,
podcast,
as
you
we call
will find
it.
Us.
Yeah, so we're there. And that is also where you learned the answer to the trivia question.
Which is
that we will be posing a little
important.
Later. Yeah, so if you're not listening to Backstage at Offstage, you really should. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio. Of course, we have the incomparable Ann Ciccolella, who I really should check in with you first before we
Well, thank you. You're very kind.
Let me check in with you. How are you doing?
Good. We're happy to be here.
Yep. How about you? Are you happy to be here?
Yeah, we and I.
I know.
We includes I.
Well, I know. I'm checking in with you specifically.
I personally
first,
am happy.
Excellent. See, because you're sort of wearing two hats. You're a guest.
I am.
But you're always the co-co host.
Yes. Well,
time.
Thank you. That's a privilege and a pleasure.
Thank you.
We love that you're the co-co host.
We have Mary Ashton.
She's
waving. Waving does not
Hello.
Work on the radio.
I can't reach the microphone from here.
Tim O'Brien.
Hi there.
We have Mr. Greg Holt. Hello. Welcome back. I'm not hearing you.
No, not hearing me?
Oh, wait. Maybe if I push the button. Try it now.
Hello.
Ah, you suddenly appear. Amazingly enough, you have to push the button in order for it to work. And then we have Paige Stevens.
Hello.
Am I hearing you? Say that again.
Hello.
Yeah, we do our mic checks live on the air. And, of course, Kara Bliss. Hi, Kara.
Hello.
And then Austin Haller is over there. We're gonna test that microphone and see if it works. I have... No, it does not work.
Okay, so that microphone does not work. So when we want to talk to you, we'll just hand you one of these microphones over there. Austin is the musical director for this particular show. So we're going to talk about what's going on in the world of theater right now. And there's several things I want to talk about. Most of all, the Hamilton thing just really thrilled me. Has anybody here seen it? Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, damn. It's like the impossible ticket to get.
Well, you know, getting to New York might help me get there.
Well, no, but even if you were in New York, you can't.
I always get the impossible ticket. I've been told that every time, and I've seen whatever I've wanted. So I know I could go.
Well,
I just need to get to New York.
Well, when you're willing to pay $600 for a ticket, you can go see just about anything. Although I do know somebody, Brian LaSoya, I believe, here, you know, our old friend Brian LaSoya, who also was a co-host one show. I believe he won the lottery, which are the $25 tickets.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
So the other thing, and you had sent me the link to this before, and we'll just talk about it here. We're going to talk about Hamilton. 1776 is coming to Encores in 2016. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're picking up on the Hamiltonism and doing multiracial casting, et cetera,
yes.
et cetera.
Et cetera. Yes.
But they're not gonna change the I think the like they should change the music to be hip hop, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I just
No. I don't know. Well, you know, that I don't
And it would be Hamilton.
1776, it would be Hamilton.
He plays the violin. Come on, work with me. That would work.
Oh, that's funny. You know what happened when they did that to Annie?
I see. Only well, not only you was like I liked it. I had no problem with it. So interestingly enough, we're going to talk about re-imaging of certain musicals later on in the program. But that Hamilton recording was really good, and I wrote myself a note. EOM, and I have no idea what that means.
I was sitting here going, "What's EOM?" That's one
It was that's a note for me and something to say, but I can't. I don't.
Everybody
even,
ohm.
Everybody owns money.
There you go.
EOM. Ohm.
End of month.
End of month. That's exactly what it is. It's coming up.
Oh,
end of
recording.
Month.
End of month. Thank you.
The 27th, I believe, is the. Thank you. Very good. Good. I'm gonna keeping you around, Paige. Like,
you can translate wonderful. Her notes for her all the time.
Yeah. I do that when I direct, and I don't know if this happens to you, Anne, or anybody else that directs, and you're taking notes. Three quarters of the time, I don't recognize, and I have to ask the actors, "Why would I say this word?" And they go, "Well, because of this." And sometimes it's just so bad that I say, "Well." Hopefully you won't do it again. Or we'll do it again, because oftentimes I give good notes.
That made my day, Lisa.
That's what I try to do.
I know.
King Kong.
I know. So you and I were together when we saw this pop across the screen.
Yeah, well, we talked about it
wave in, I guess it was 2013 when all the, it was
right.
in Australia.
Well, it was in Australia, and it looked just incredible.
The puppetry and the animatronics on the puppet are just awe-dropping.
So before we start talking about what's happening right now, let's listen to this. This just gives you an idea of the puppet.
I think the most amazing thing to me about King Kong is that he really does take a team of 13 live operators to move him an inch. That's 10 men on the ground and 3 men out front doing a lot of animatronics, plus a 10-ton automation system which moves him up and down and around the stage from above.
Isn't that amazing, all the stuff that just goes into that? And to see the video of this thing moving, it's really awe-inspiring.
It is.
So it's this huge, imagine a puppet. Which is what it is, so it's not hard to imagine because it's easy. There's a picture of it. There's an actual video of it. You don't really have to imagine.
There's
but,
stills.
For those of you that haven't seen the video, you see huge ropes that are going up, and then there's people running around underneath in black moving it, and then also animatronics, clearly, that you don't see.
Yeah, because the whole when they're chasing it and it's running that whole scene, I'm like, that is huge. It's really cool. It's stunning.
It's really amazing. And they are bringing it to Broadway.
Yes.
And
changing it up and adding
changing it up, getting rid of a lot of the music, adding more music with
one Jason Robert Brown.
Jason Robert Brown.
Yay.
Join the team.
Which is okay, because the music was, that was the one thing I'm like, I don't understand. It goes from techno to Sarah McLachlan to old standards from the period, like, I Want to Be Loved by You. Yep. So I couldn't figure out what they were doing with the music.
Yep. So we'll see what, and also Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very,
well, that's, you know you could see King Kong out there sitting on 34th Street right before he climbs the thing and going, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Built me an office, built it well. Yeah, you could see that. But Jason Robert Brown should bring some interesting music to it.
Yeah, they're not saying what they're cutting exactly or changing yet.
It sounds like, when you read it, it sounded like they're trying to decide what they're going to keep versus what they're cutting. So it sounds like they're not going to keep a lot. And he's collaborating with the Australian creative team member, Marius De Vries, who did Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet.
I was supposed to say the Moulin Rouge person.
So he's a Baz Luhrmann dude.
I have a feeling they'll do what they did when Jason Robert Brown worked on Urban Cowboy, and he only really wrote 5 songs, but he changed and worked with all the orchestrations, and I have a feeling that's kind of the, I don't know. That's my thought.
Well, we will
when
see.
When I look in my crystal ball.
We love our, oh, look, here's a picture. All right, show everybody on the radio. Yeah, so here, we'll pass that around for the studio audience to look at. So that's what Paige just went, wow.
It's
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, see? It's really, you don't expect it. You're like, King Kong musical, really? And then you see it, you're,
it's
like, really, whoa.
Yeah, it's phenomenal visually.
And I would say that it's going to be, that there'll be a link to that picture on the website, but there probably won't be. So you just have to Google King Kong musical.
Yes.
Or King Kong, Jason Robert Brown.
It comes all up. Or, Playbill has a lot of the videos.
Or King Kong, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
There you go. There It'll you go.
It'll all get there. What's something you want to chit-chat about?
I don't know. I wasn't.
You weren't prepared? Do you want me to go on? I'll go on. Amazing Grace.
I'm going to New York next week, just saying.
Oh, what are you seeing?
Juliette Binoche as Antigone.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Cool.
You love the Antigone.
Eva Best in All Times.
Okay.
Okay.
Fun Home.
Oh, jealous.
And the absolute brightness of that kid who's at the West Side Theater.
Yeah.
No, nice.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
Well, I want to hear.
Yeah, when I come.
Yes.
Thanks. Did we talk about Fun Home and the loss of Hojima Goji last week?
Leaving it then. No, because that came up when
you
and I were watching.
What's her name?
King Kong. The peanut of the bunch. That shows in Tenet that
she's
age.
She's fabulous.
And bananas.
Anyway.
She leaves October 2nd,
Ring of Keys, girl.
I think.
It's my birthday present. She's leaving on
she's
my birthday.
She's coming here to surprise you, Lisa. Sydney you just don't know.
Sydney Lucas
there
is
you
her
go.
Name.
There
Sydney
you
Lucas.
Go.
She is, I just fell in love with her.
I know.
Fell in love with her. So Amazing Grace.
I'll see her replacement on the 3rd. Thank you.
You will. Well, you'll check
it's
back.
It's her understudy, who apparently is fabulous.
And those of you that
not quite as good.
No, those of you that listen to the show and follow our link saw the ASL version that I sent of Ring of Keys that had her understudy singing pieces of it, and I think she looks pretty good.
She's pretty good, but she wasn't Sydney.
She's no. So, but we're very jealous that you're going to see it.
Well, thank you.
Fun Home. Amazing Grace, that really wonderful show about the creation of the song Amazing Grace, closing.
Well, yes, I know.
Yeah, didn't do very well. It was operating at less than 50% capacity.
I know, it's a little sad.
It cost $16 million to mount that show.
I know, that's a little sad.
So it's got a couple of firsts.
Well,
anybody
give me
those guess?
First. And
anybody
want to
guess what the first?
Around.
Anybody see Amazing Grace? Anne, did you see Amazing Grace?
Is it the first time Amazing Grace was sung on stage for Broadway?
I doubt it.
No,
but,
I doubt it. I was just being a smarty.
How about it was the first musical to open this season?
Oh. Okay.
Which sort of leads to the next first.
It's the first one to close.
It's the first one to close. So yeah, they were surprised that they didn't that they weren't getting the box office. They were marketing it to. Christians and to African Americans, and they were trying to get people that don't go to the theater to come to the theater, and it obviously didn't work. But they're expecting they're going to take it immediately on the road or soon
I can
on the
see
road.
It doing well on
and
tour,
they think it's
going to
do well on
you.
The road.
I can see schools liking it. Well, who knows these days with schools? Yeah. I should take that back.
Who's seen the Neil Patrick Harris variety show?
I've watched it again. For
Nobody.
You.
Nobody.
They've been in rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could. That's what TiVo is for.
I do. I actually watch it on DVR.
Well, I watched it live because it is live. Has everybody heard of it?
It's not live, though. I figured out last night.
No, it's live.
No, it's not live.
It is.
No, I figured it out. They record it live, I think, but it's not live because when they were doing the quiz on the news of the week, that was news that was 2 weeks old.
No, it was live. I guarantee you.
News of the week was 2 weeks old.
Okay.
Just saying.
Nicole and I rarely agree on anything, even factual-based stuff. So that's why we're a good Democrat-Republican kind of thing here. We'll let you decide who's which party.
I didn't know all of a sudden I was a party.
Well, no, I'm just talking about how a certain party states facts as if they are, or states things as if they are facts, and they aren't. Not that I have an opinion about that or not. Anyway, so I was actually really excited when Neil Patrick Harris and NBC said that Neil Patrick Harris was going to host a variety show. And in my thinking, it was going to be the old school variety shows like
right.
Carol Burnett, like Smothers Brothers, like Red Fox, like Jerry Lewis. It wasn't.
I don't understand where they pulled the format from.
It's sort of a combination of a game show...
talk show.
There's some cute things about it, but it's not something that I'm going to hold on to, I don't think.
No. It seems like it's an outlet for him to, what else can I do?
But he does some pretty interesting, they have a big finish. So there's only been two, so we are judging this on two shows. And both big finishes have had this, it's a big production number. Last week, they did this thing with these guys on pogo sticks, and Neil Patrick Harris joins them on the pogo sticks, and they're doing acrobatics on pogo sticks. Backflips, of which Neil Patrick Harris did.
Wow.
I said he's determined to kill himself
night,
with this show.
Last night was a group of trampoline artists that they had a scaffolding structure. That they would jump off onto a trampoline, do a trick, and
that had
come
to
back
have been four floors high.
It was three. Well, there were three levels.
Okay. There were three that were showing.
Yeah, there were three levels that were showing. So, and he did that too, which is pretty amazing.
And he almost didn't make it. I'm like, I swear to God, this guy is just trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
Although I did say to you, the last week clip where he photobombed someone's wedding and they didn't know about it was hilarious.
Yeah, he does do things where he, it takes a lot of planning. This time it was a proposal. So they bring somebody up from the audience, a hapless person that doesn't know what's going on. And they said, oh, we know all about you. In this case, they said, where's your boyfriend? And she said, he's at home. And he said, I know he's at home because we set up a hidden camera in your house. They come to it. They show he's sleeping on the sofa and she's like rolling her eyes. And then then Neil Patrick Harris said he's been very active. So he did a bit on You've Got Talent.
America's Got Talent.
He did
He went on an Animal Planet show with a snake.
With a snake. And then he did one of those Ninja Warrior things.
And then he did American Ninja Warrior.
And then he ran from Las Vegas to New York City.
It was lame. It was so set up. And they gave him the ring. It was the standard Neil Diamond promo ring. I was like, this is so bad.
What's a standard Neil Diamond promo ring?
When Neil Diamond likes to give out rings for publicity for people to get engaged on television. So he got that.
I like Doogie Howser.
I miss Doogie too.
Doogie.
I do miss
Doogie. I wanted
Doogie.
Him to be Doogie Howser, and then it's like, oh no, he's Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. And I'm on the same boat with you.
Okay. Page.
Y'all are always on the same page.
Not always.
New Jersey.
Many times you're on the same page.
But yeah, it's the Jersey.
Speaking of New Jersey, Weehawken, New Jersey is where Hamilton died on his. And let me tell you something. Listening to Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr. Listening to Hamilton.
What did Aaron have to tell you
these
days?
I like Aaron Burr.
Well, he killed my Hamilton.
They were friends.
The section in the musical where, because I'm just hearing the music, and of course I know the story of the duel, but the duel was just amazing, amazing. I can't wait to see it.
I know.
You should go see that, Anne. Okay, never mind.
I can't see Anne getting down with the hip hop.
So Radio City Music Hall is kicking out the Tony Awards.
Yeah, or is Harvey Fierstein kicking out the Tonys?
Well, they announced, it was funny because I saw the announcement that the summer show they did this summer, they're bringing back the New York City Spectacular.
Yeah, no, it's,
and I saw the dates and went, wait a minute. That's during the Tonys. And then I found the article that it's going back to. It's the Beacon, right?
Yeah, they're going back to the Beacon.
It was there 10 years ago or
no, so? No, it was there a few years ago. It was there for 2 years in, I think, 11 and 12.
Okay. Why does that seem longer away?
Yeah. But, yeah, they're doing the New York Spring Spectacular, which I don't think has been doing very good.
That's why I was shocked it was coming back.
But
I was like,
what? Part of it is talking about Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, there you go. And he's the one that produces the Rockettes. And he's also did Finding Neverland. It was snubbed at the Tonys. So some people are saying he's doing this because Finding Neverland was snubbed at the Tonys.
Wouldn't Could it surprise be? Me.
Yeah. But interestingly, the Madison Square Garden, who manages the Radio City Musical Hall, also manages the Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love is, okay, so the Beacon holds...
It's like night and day.
2,900 seats versus... Radio City, 6,200 seats, but they call the Beacon intimate, which you know,
well, it's all relative.
It's yeah.
relative.
It yeah. is, I guess, compared to Radio City, but yes, I know that yeah. is kind of funny.
So let's see this show, Motherstruck, that was going to be directed by Cynthia Nixon,
yeah,
who did such a great job in whatever that show was that I can't remember. What was she in that she did? She won the Tony for something.
Wit? Rabbit Hole?
It was Rabbit Hole is what I was thinking of, but she also won for Wit.
I was just surprised she couldn't come up with the money. Well, tell the story.
Well, it's interesting. Well, I don't...
It's just postponed for now, right?
It's postponed, but the Culture Project is doing this show called Motherstruck. Backed by Rosie O'Donnell, directed by Cynthia Nixon, 2 days before opening, they shut it down, citing they didn't have the money. And when you read the comments, and everybody says exactly what Ann said, I don't understand. They've got Rosie O'Donnell behind and Cynthia Nixon. But, you know, coming from a producer standpoint, it's... Oh, and the other comment that was said, I can't believe that 2 days before the performance, it's now, they're just now coming to the realization they can't afford to do it. But coming from a producer standpoint, you live in this Valhalla that it's going to come through, and at some point it hits you on the head that you can't. And
or perhaps you postponed and got an article in the New York Times that nobody would have even noticed the show. I was like, oh
you are so cynical, but I love it. It's yeah. absolutely, yeah.
Listen, it could be like Rebecca. Rebecca's still on the upcoming list. Maybe it'll happen.
It could be Broadway 4D.
There you go.
Which is coming back, by the way.
Dun-da-da. I didn't know that. I saw this on the list. I was like...
Yeah, Broadway 4D was the show that they're taking over the Times Square Theater. It was set to open in 2013, which is a big 4D. Does everybody know what 4D is? Y'all are very quiet.
I think they're taking it back by us and our banana.
4D is this experience where, so you've got a 3D movie, but 4D would add, like, your seats have vibrations in them and they move. Okay. So you're getting a full experience. Smell-o-vision.
Yes.
Exactly. So it's the fourth dimension, as you will. And they were taking over the Times Square Theater and they were going to do it. And then they suddenly backed out. Well, it's back on with a new group that's taken over the lease and everything, and I'm looking for my little piece of paper.
See, another thing resurrected that was supposed to be gone, but it's back.
Yeah, so it was put on hold a year ago. The new company is interesting. The new company is called, I got to find it. It's called, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like 1990 Broadway.
That may be the address.
1990 Broadway?
Oh, it might be. No, but it's on 42nd. That may be the address of their area.
Their business.
Yeah. Office. So, it's coming back, and it should be 1991 Broadway. I was right. I love that.
Yay!
I love that. It's the 1991 Broadway Theater Group, and indeed, their office is at 1991 Broadway. Oddly enough, I saw it. All I could think of was the year 1991. So. No. That's me.
Magical.
We have time for one more thing before the last thing I want to say. Do you have anything you want to...
Well, I just got really excited looking at all the Playbill updated and did the whole list of all the upcoming shows for all the seasons.
Lots of stuff.
Through 2016-17 and then... future with that good old Rebecca out there. And I was excited because I, for a while, kept talking about Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
It's coming
back.
Back
up there, and it does have the year now. I'm like, yay.
Yep.
There was a lot of things, and I was shocked how many things are really just opening. Lord of the Dance. I did text Lisa, I go, and good old Lord of the Dance made me giggle.
Isn't he going on
him.
Retirement?
He's dancing again. He's
out. No, I mean, there was a Times article today on he's.
Yeah, he may,
so did
he may
Barbara
not.
Streisand, but look at, you know.
And who paid for those tickets,
I'm still chapped about that one. Yeah, so I was very excited. It's a cool list. And there's a lot of shows coming out, a lot more than I thought.
Well, you also sent me a leak, which just was very, very touching.
Oh, yes.
This is a show called Invisible Thread. And I went and looked at a whole bunch of stuff. And it's
it was
first done at American Repertory Theater. It is directed by Diane Paulus. And it is heading to Off-Broadway at Second Stage. And it's called Invisible Thread. And it's a story about the writers of it, Matthew, where'd it go? I wish I could remember names.
It's a true story.
It's a true story of Matt Gold and Griffin Matthews. Griffin Matthews went to Uganda for a humanitarian thing, and he wrote a story of it. So a couple years ago, earlier this year, they did a Kickstarter campaign to bring the cast to Uganda to see
the
roots
people.
And meet the real people that it's about. And they went... And they made this music video.
The song's called Beautiful, but it happens to be beautiful.
It is beautiful. And you can see it when the show posts, which will happen later tonight. There's a link on our site for the YouTube video of this. And I would really recommend giving it a watch. It's really good.
I'm just happy Christian Borum made a music video. Now everybody else is. Yep. I just think that Broadway needs to do more of these. They're cool. They include
it always
stage
comes back to Christian Borum.
So, you know, I love it.
Yeah. So it's this video is really lovely, and it's a beautiful number as well. And you will hear a bit of it when we leave. We're going to play a bit of the final part of that number. And there are other numbers that you can see, other YouTube videos. They did others. Not just that
yes,
one number.
No,
so there are
but that number
as well.
I thought you would really. Yeah.
Very quickly, Hugh Jackman's on The Tonight Show tonight.
I know. I'm
so
excited.
Figured you'd like that.
What
I had to
can
say
he
that.
Do, he's Hugh?
All right, so now it's time to do the trivia question. So as everybody here knows that we do a trivia question. We will pose the question here. We will answer it at the top of Backstage at Offstage. So this is a really good reason for you to listen to the podcast. I will ask the studio audience here not to shout out the answers or even guesses if you know it, but you feel free to make faces, gasp, whatever. And go ahead.
Well, I chose the subject of Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh,
so you may know the answer.
So you may know the answer, but keep it to yourself till later. Sunday in the Park with George, 1984, starring Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters, ran for 600 performances, did not win the Tony, but became the sixth musical in history to receive the Pulitzer Prize for drama. While researching Surratt, which the show is based on, a painting by him, a Sunday in the afternoon of the island of La Grande Jatte. Jatte, yeah. Mm-hmm. When researching Surratt, Sondheim realized that pointillism had an interesting parallel in music and reflected that in the score. Yeah. Surratt's love of color also comes through in the lyrics, many of which are describe the painter at work. Which color is mentioned most often?
Ooh.
A, purple. B, yellow. C, green. D, red. E, blue.
Okay, we had a lot of
heads going on,
heads happening. Bobbing. So we think that the cast at least knows who it is. What
I
the
got
answer
excited
is.
That because I knew that was interactive.
Thank
that Anne and Austin would be excited about.
Thank
I was like,
you. Thank you.
So we're gonna take a little break and we're gonna listen to another song from Hamilton, just because I'm predictable. So we will be right back.
I come back before guns and ships. And so their balance
sheet. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. We are joined here with the cast and director and musical director of Sunday in the Park with George. We've been talking to them all day long, and we're going to introduce them in a second. But before we do, who wants a job? Anybody? Raise your hand. Somebody?
It's an easy job.
I'm
going to
get... Okay, Paige, yes. Thank you. Yeah. You were voluntold. I need you to choose a number between 2 and 47.
Okay.
Now.
What is the number?
I need you to
us.
Choose a number. Yeah, you got to tell us what
not
it
like
is.
Not like
what
a
it's 8.
It's 8. Okay, great.
We weren't going to read your mind or anything.
Did 8 mean anything to you? Did you choose that for a reason?
Looks like a snowman.
Yes, that's exactly
okay, because it looks like a snowman. All right,
well,
let's see what you chose.
Let me put my gun down. This is D.D. Snavely, and I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air at KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, and it beats the out of Andy Williams.
Well, we've gotten Jason a couple Jason times lately.
But yeah. They've all been different.
Different
Jason.
Characters.
I've enjoyed that choice.
We've had
Thank
one
you.
Actual
It was
Jason
a good choice. Yes. We have not had that one in a while.
No.
Well, okay, so let's reintroduce everybody. The director of Sunday in the Park with George and the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare, Ms. Ann Chick-Galella.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. And also, I should mention the co-host of Offstage and On the Air. And then she's yelling really loud, Austin Howler, who doesn't have a microphone, the musical director of...
Glad to be here, Haley's.
Lovely, Heath, welcome.
He can't.
And then, let's see, Mary Ashton...
Yes, that's me.
Greg Holt.
I thought hello, you were hello. Bowing.
Tim O'Brien.
Hello.
Paige Stevens.
That's me.
And Caribus.
Howdy.
Howdy. So who's playing? Well, somebody say about this show. What is this show? Sunday in the Park
Tell
with George.
Tell us about this show.
What the heck
and
is it?
What is it?
Well, I'll start, but I'd love people to say what they think it's about. It was inspired by a painting painted by George Seurat. That was a challenging painting for him, over which he was obsessed. And he had a falling out with his mistress during that time. And they truthfully, when you read about how the show was created, they wanted to do really all the characters. And then that became too fragmented, and then they decided to sort of focus on this. So, but tell us about your characters. Tell them about Celeste.
I play Celeste number one, and it's not far from my normal person to be catty and gossipy, so it was well casted in my opinion.
Tell folks who Celeste is.
You mean in the painting?
Yeah.
Well, she has another friend, sister, something rather, who is named Celeste number two.
Uh-huh.
And we actually play two different groups of women in the painting. There's the two women that are kind of sitting on their knees in the front that are just hanging out, and then there are two on the side that are fishing, and we are boy crazy or soldier crazy.
Who isn't?
And we are after the soldier and his companion, who is played by a wonderful plywood.
So just to be clear, other than George Seurat and I don't know the character that Bernadette Peters
Dot,
played.
Dot.
Everybody else is characters from the painting. Is that correct?
And so is Dot.
And so is Dot.
Yeah, she's in the painting.
I have to admit that I have not been able to watch Sunday in the Park with George from start to finish, so I don't know everything.
But you do know the painting.
I know the painting, but yes. I don't know the story of this. I don't know this
Well,
musical.
We're going to tell you about it.
Okay, so... you're George Seurat.
Yes, I am playing George Seurat.
Yeah, that's Greg Holt, for those...
Yeah, for those yeah. Yeah. Because everybody should know that, right? Just by my voice.
They should recognize your voice. I do.
Give it the picture.
Yeah, so playing George, and it is quite a challenge. And then it's kind of cool, because in Act 1, I play the painter, George Seurat. And then in Act 2, I play his great-grandson, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
His great-grandson. And he is a sculptor/inventor in Act 2, who's having an artistic crisis.
Ah, and
Tim O'Brien, I'm playing the character of Jules, who is, if you look at the painting on the right-hand side of it, if you imagine it in your mind, there is a gentleman with a top hat and kind of a walking stick there. And Sondheim and Lapine sort of saw him as being a competitive artist or a friend, but definitely an artist of a different stripe than George. So Jules is kind of a fussy... real particular, more realistic artist who is trying to come to grips with George's talent and style.
Oh, and Paige, who do you play?
I play Jules' wife, Yvonne.
Is she in here? Is she sitting right next to him?
She is not. Dot is right next to him.
Ah, Dot.
They get stuck together, which is hilarious in the show.
Because we don't like each other at all.
Well, of course.
I play the woman in the middle with the red parasol.
At least you're center stage here.
Mm-hmm. I am, yeah.
That's good. Well, let me just show it to the audience. You know what? If you're listening on the podcast, and I mentioned you should be listening on the podcast, I will put this painting up on there so you can follow along.
There you go.
Yeah. My character is basically, I am a very bored woman. And I
BBWs, we call
I
those.
I do. I don't have very much to do, even though I seem to enjoy some wealth and social prowess. I generally don't have very much to do in my life, and I think that's pretty obvious in the show. I'm not a particularly happy woman. And I think I am somewhat jealous of Dot's experience in life, that she is an inspiration to anyone, and that she seems to have a purpose and some connection with people, which I am lacking. In the second act, I switch gears and I play the composer who's collaborating with the great-grandson, George, and it's, you know, current work, new work, digital sounds, and I think I'm just sort of fighting for my place in art.
You found a good place in art. And Carrie, you're playing Dot.
I am.
And I guess, go ahead.
I was going to say, in the painting, she's the most foreground. She's kind of whimsical. She's holding a monkey on a leash, if you look carefully.
She is.
She's not thrilled by that.
And she has the hat, I think, of the finishing hat.
She has the finishing the hat.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so the reason why I thought, and this is why I thought she was somebody from real life, from George Surratt's real life, is that she's the one, she at the beginning of the show, which I have seen the first several minutes of the show, and she's talking to George. She's posing for him. So that's why I thought that she was.
And she has he had a real mistress on which I think this
I think he had more than one.
Well, yes.
But he was multiple.
He was a little dandy. So we're going to hear a little bit of music, but before we do, Austin, can you talk about the music in this piece?
Sure, yeah.
Who composed it?
Sondheim did both the lyrics and the music, and to me, what's so amazing about the show is it's not only like all Sondheim is genius and inventive and amazing, but this show has a harmonic language that I think touches the heart especially. I mean, all of Sondheim's shows do that in a way, but I think this show does, to me, even more than any Sondheim show, and that's really the most beautiful thing. And about our particular show, we just have an amazing group of 14 singers and a professional orchestra who also sound wonderful, and to do it all in the wonderful Rollins Theater.
10 musicians.
Wonderful. Yeah, so it's coming together beautifully.
And he did have a sort of a pointillistic approach to this music as well.
Exactly, yeah. You can hear that in the music. And he also uses a lot of wordplay and puns that connect both the art to the music.
Right. Yeah. So what's the first number we're going to hear here today?
The first number is a mashup of two songs. The first one is called
Sondheim Mashup.
That's right. Yeah. The first part will be Everybody Loves Louie, sung by Cara Bliss, playing Dot. And then we will hear a part of The Day Off, sung by Greg Holt, playing George. We refer to it as the dog song, because you will hear in this section, he's actually singing two different dog parts, and for those who are listening, it sounds like two different voices, but amazingly enough, Greg is singing both of them himself, so he is singing both of the dogs.
Yay.
Yeah, and may I say, the Louis that Cara is singing about is the husband that she eventually takes, rejecting George, so because he's such a lovely fella.
Okay, lovely. Well, this is Cara Bliss and Greg Holt doing a mashup of numbers from Austin Shakespeare's Sunday in the Park with George.
Louis always so fair. Louis makes you feel present. Louis's generous. That's the thing about Louis. Louis always is fair. Louis's thoughts are not hard to follow. Louis's art is not hard to swallow. Not that Louis's perfection, that's what makes him ideal. Hardly anything worth objection. Louis drinks a bit, Louis blinks a bit. Louis makes a connection. That's the thing that you feel. We lose things, and then we choose things. And there are Louis, and there are Georges. Well, Louis and George. But George has Everybody him as well as his cakes. Everybody loves Louis, me included, George. Not afraid to be gooey, Louis sells what he makes. Everybody gets along with him. That's the trouble, nothing's wrong with him. Louis has to make his way, George can only bake his. Yeah, Louis it is!
Roof! Roof! Thanks, the week has been rough! When you're stuck for life on a garbage scow, only 40 feet long from stern to prow, and a crackpot in the bow, wow. Roof! The planks are rough, and the wind is rough, and the master's drunk and mean, and... Roof! Roof! With the fish and scum and planks and ballast, the nose gets numb and the paws get calloused, and with splinters in your ass, you look forward to the grass on Sunday, the day off! 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 The grass needs to be thicker. Perhaps a few weeds and some ants, if you would. I love fresh ants. Roaming around on Sunday, poking among the roots and rocks. Nose to the ground on Sunday, studying all the shoes and socks. Everything's worth it Sunday, the day off. Settling for a spoiled dessert. Everything's worth it Sunday, the day off. Something fuzzy, something furry, something pink that someone tore off in a hurry. What's the muddle in the middle? That's a puddle where the poodle did the piddle.
Wow. I'm glad y'all chose an easy show to sing. My gosh, what that just sounds very difficult, but wonderful.
Thank you.
Is there an easy Sondheim song, really?
Well, I mean, this is a particularly
challenging West Side Story is pretty
but,
easy.
But this is the first time the show's been done in Austin and in Central Texas.
Oh, so Mazel Tov.
Kind of thrilled to doing it.
Yeah. Awesome.
In all of Central Texas.
We're looking
really
forward to it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Interesting story when I was looking at it. They started working on this right after... Merrily We Roll Along was such a
well,
tremendous
the they
plot.
Is a different they, right? So Merrily is Hal Prince.
No, I know, but Stephen Sondheim and Lapine worked.
They just met for this,
right? But but I'm speaking Sondheim specifically was very unhappy with the way Merrily We Roll Along mm-hmm. happened, and mm-hmm. almost didn't do this show because
almost
of it.
Didn't do any show.
Right, he was going to get out of theater and do. Something.
Write mystery wow. novels.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And Merrily We Roll Along has actually a decent following. It ran for 16 performances.
Yeah, we did a stage concert of it at Zach, actually.
I opened right across the street from Merrily We Roll Along at the same time with the Oh Brother, and we only played 3 performances.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Well, we do
We were literally across the street from one another, and we were both slated to be flops, and we were... We were very sympathetic of one another.
There you go.
So
we do have the finale for you. That's why
right,
everybody's here.
Yep, we're not going to... you want to do it right now?
I would
it
think
sounds
so.
Like you want to do it right
I
now.
Would, and, I think so.
You know, when Anne is on the show, we have to do whatever she says.
She's the co-host.
She does not let me control my show when she's here. So, okay, so tell us about this song. Somebody set this up.
This is the Act One finale, where George is finally completing the painting. And as he's doing this, everyone is singing and coming into position for the painting. And it ends with them all finally assuming their last pose. And he freezes the picture. And the great grand projection of the wonderful Sunday afternoon on the island of Grand Jatte hits the screen. And the audience goes crazy.
Okay.
And my favorite thing, though, is before this, everybody's fighting.
Yeah,
like all the characters from the painting are arguing.
That, yeah.
It's chaos. They're yelling at each other. And he sort of resolves. And what you hear is chaos auditorily, and then it resolves into this harmony as he resolves them into the painting.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. This is the cast of Sunday in the Park with George, Austin Shakespeare's production, singing the finale of Act One.
blood water on the green, purple, yellow, red grass. Let us pass through our perfect park, pausing on a Sunday by the cool triangular water.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
I could see the painting come to life. I really could.
No,
yeah,
it is. You
great.
Can
thank
in
you.
The music.
Yeah. See,
Mazel
now
tov.
We can kick back.
Well, now
I can take a breath.
So now I see exactly what you said, Matt Austin, when you said the harmonics of this group is really good. Y'all blend really, really, really well together.
We should let the listeners up. That was five people making that sound.
Right. And there's going to be 14.
14 of us.
Yes.
On stage. So, yeah.
Imagine.
So who else is there? Who else is part of this team that we want to talk about here? Who's your designers and?
Well,
yeah.
No. I mean, we're talking about our lighting designer. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jason Amato, who's left for a job in Norfolk, has come back to do this and a show at
lovely.
Vortex as well. So it's really magic, and what he's achieved in just a short time for them is just lovely.
Lovely.
Jeff Kurahawa is doing photos and projections, rather, and animations for us. And Talena Martinez has done costumes for the 19th century, and the actors are in their own garb for the 20th century.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I am really, really looking forward to seeing it. You may be turning me around about this show. I've never, it's not one of my favorites of his.
Well, just come and have a drink.
And I know I'm the only one in the world that doesn't like it. But it's really, I've not been able to sit through. I've never seen a live version, and I'm going by the.
So come, have a drink, sit down, you'll love it.
I will come, I'll have a drink, I will sit down, and I will love it. All right, well, we're going to take a little break, and we will come right back. And let me just figure out, because we've skipped a lot of stuff. Let's just go right into, let's see, we're going to go into a little bit of, well, you'll recognize this if I have it queued up properly, which I may not.
Sunday in the park with George.
Okay, we are back. Whoops. I went right back into the...
Right in there. She just didn't
right
want to stop
in.
Now, did she?
Yeah. And you know what? You sort of want to hear... I'm just going to play this because we skipped over it, but it's such a fun piece of music. Just listen to this.
I love someone who don't love me. You love someone who don't love you. Let's go eat worms in the garden.
Your Let's go eat worms in the garden.
I know, that made me giggle, and he was very happy singing it.
Do you recognize it?
No.
Okay, well, this was going to be from our Today in Theater History, so I'm only going to do one. In 1930, that was Kay Swift. She's the first Broadway musical score composed by a woman. It's a show called Fine and Dandy. And it managed, despite the Depression, so in 1930, it had a 255 performance run.
Wow,
so that day was really, really well. And this music is delightful.
I was about to say, I want to go listen to it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, so that was going to be what I played at the end of that. So, oh, and you know what? I think there was a birthday
I think there was a
Jason Alexander's birthday today.
Yeah, so hello. And
we have to thank Jason.
We like him.
Well, thank you to the cast of Sunday in the Park with George. And Chickalella, thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Tell folks where they can go to get more information.
LongCenter.org.
LongCenter.org or AustinShakespeare.org.
Or Austin Shakespeare, it's true, yes.
Yep. So, once again, let me just tell everybody who this was. This is Ann Chickalella, Cara Bliss, Greg Holt, Tim O'Brien, Paige Stevens, Mary Ashton, and Austin Haller of Austin Shakespeare, Sunday in the Park with George. It is at the Long Center this weekend only, the 24th through the 27th. For more information, AustinShakespeare.org or thelongcenter.org. And we're going to finish off. We're going to do a little bit of local stuff. There was stuff you wanted to sort of
just really quickly. Julian Sand is doing his show. He's done this before. It's called The Celebration of Harold Pinter. It's not reading his plays. It's his poetry directed by John Malkovich. And it's for two nights only at the Texas Performing Arts in the McCullough Theater.
Love
the
that
24th
theater.
And 25th, so texasperformingarts.org.
Yep, and I'll have lots of pauses in the in the poetry.
The only reason he started
Thank
doing
you.
This originally...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting that.
Pinter actually, before he passed, taught him how to put the correct pauses in because he stood in for him one night when he was sick.
Well, you'd have to.
That's how it came about.
Biden Payne nominations were announced yesterday or day before. Anybody here a nominee?
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Yes.
All right. I saw your name. So Mazel Tov. Thanks. Best of luck.
Lisa, we're in every category. You didn't read close enough?
I started to go through and underline people that have been on this show, but I was underlining everybody. So,
yeah.
So it was really sort of a thrilling season, and we look forward to those announcements. And I don't know when they are. And Austin Shakespeare had a few nominations, didn't they? No?
I didn't see them.
I don't. Yeah.
I've been doing a show.
I'm sure you did. So that's very, very exciting. So let's see. What else do we need to do? We're going so out of order here.
We need to tell people how they can keep finding us.
Yeah, I know. We're going to do that in 30 seconds.
Oh, well, give me one more piece of theater history.
Okay, we'll do one more piece of theater history.
Yeah, I was afraid that was gone. I didn't want to.
Well, because we went a little.
I thought our feature was
a little
gone.
Crazy. This is actually a this is the anniversary of the death of Bob Fosse, 1987.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know, and I know that probably everybody here did, that he died while walking down the street in Washington D.C.
Really? Yes, wow.
I did not know that. Wow. Along with Gwen Verdon, and he was in the middle of directing the revival of Sweet Charity,
which I saw,
which Nicole saw
with one Bebe Neuwirth and one Debbie Allen. My brother got lost in the orchestra pit; we couldn't find him during intermission.
Yeah. So this is also interesting. 2001. So this is in September of 2001. So this is just a week or two after the 9/11 attacks. The Kiss Me Kate was supposed to close today, but they got an 11th hour reprieve when the actors agreed to give their salaries to first responders.
Oh, wow.
And the producer tore up the closing notice, and it went on to play for an entire year.
Oh, wow.
I was going
to say,
Maren Mazie, Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Really cool, yep.
The other shows that didn't do so well, 1,000 Clowns, Blast, Bat Boy, Stones in the Pockets, If You Ever Leave Me, I'm Going With You, all closed because of it. So now we're late. Like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, stitch us on Stitches.
Best way, get Lisa and Nicole delivered in the mailbox, offstageonair.com, enter email on the right.
Right. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of chance to listen to this piece of music because this is from that show that we were talking
Invisible
about.
Threat.
This is from Beautiful.
Is there a way we can see, oh Lord? Is there a place to be?
Show's over. The curtain has just come down on We Are All Alone, the musical. The story of a group of people, entertainers, that show a piece of entertainment and nobody shows up. It's a very quiet show.
It's a very quiet show. Actually, I don't know. And I are quiet.
But. We aren't quiet. So here we are backstage. And interestingly enough, we were abandoned by the entire cast of Sunday in the Park with George.
All of a sudden, I turned around. They were gone.
They were just gone. So we're gonna go on without them. And we have elicited some folks here in the studio, which we're very, very happy. Number one, Mark Rashak, who's got the show Another Bottle Down.
Hello.
That comes on directly.
Two shows after hours.
Two shows, 2:30.
Which is, you know, what the little boy with the toothache said when he was asked what time it is.
I did not know that.
2:30. There you go. So, Mark, tell our listeners a little bit. We always, except we didn't today, we usually mention that your show's coming up, but I don't know if our listeners know. So this is a perfect opportunity to tell people about your show.
Right. Well, there's not much to say. We drink wine.
Great.
We talk about
so
it. It's just been a wild time, a lot of fun. I try and interview folks who are in the wine industry who live in Austin or either passing through Austin. We kind mm-hmm. of try and talk about the Austin community and have some fun
and
doing Austin, it.
And wine. That's wine, great. Yeah. And you have fascinating guests. And your guest this week is particularly fascinating to me because she's an old, dear friend.
Pretty much just old.
No, you're just a dear friend. that's Jane Nichols, otherwise known in our circles where we crossed as Miss Jane. Do you still go by that?
Oh, actually, that's a nickname that's been following me a long time, and I don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with me being a teacher. I'm actually kind of glad you asked, because I'm trying to lose the Miss Jane.
I was wondering whether you liked it or not.
No, here's why. I have a really good reason. I'm getting to be a little too old. And Miss Jane is starting to kind of look like Miss Daisy, you know, like I'm driving Miss Jane. Yeah, so I'm trying
coming
to
lose back to
it.
The stage
yeah.
this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, of course, right. of course.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to change it up to MJ. So give it a try. Say, okay. Hey, MJ, how's it going? Okay.
MJ.
So, I'd like to introduce someone I've known quite a long time now here in Austin. This is MJ.
That's right. MJ Nichols. Nice to be here. How you doing?
I like that.
Nice to see you. Yeah.
Okay. Normally I see you out there having lots of wine as we're wrapping up our show before you go on. I don't see that.
Why didn't Jane Nichols bring some wine?
Why, MJ, where's the wine?
I drank it in the parking lot. As usual.
So Jane Nichols has a theater connection as well, because you used to be a voter for the Biden-Payne.
Yes, I was on the nominating committee.
You were on the nominating
committee? Oh, I was on that committee
for
a very long time. About four or five years ago.
Probably.
When I had
time.
Yeah. That's exciting.
So,
it's hard for me to say that because I don't believe in it.
Were you aware that the nominations just came out yesterday?
Of course I was, because I am a very loyal fan, and I'm actually impressed that they have a website. They've really modernized.
They do. It's a Wix website I discovered today.
They did, but I will give them kudos, because last year when the nominations came out, we couldn't find them on the website. And we had to search.
Yep.
And today
they were there.
Very impressive.
So woohoo!
They were there.
We moved it up another notch, another year.
I saw someone on Facebook saying, "Is this a scam?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, we've been around for 20 years. We're no longer a scam."
No. So, MJ, what's your other connection to theater? Where did the connection to theater come? Are you just a theater fan, or did you
Absolutely.
Ever perform?
Just a theater fan. No, never performed, at least
you
not
could.
On purpose.
Not
oh,
on
thank
purpose.
You. Thank you.
Well, teaching a wine class or teaching is, in a way, performance.
Oh, that's
right?
true.
Yes, it is.
Well,
that's
and
true.
I have personal experience in this, because MJ was my teacher when I was in culinary school, and I spent 6 weeks with her, or however long.
It was a beautiful 6 weeks.
It was a beautiful 6 weeks, and she is indeed a wonderful entertainer.
Wait a minute. Is this the MJ that you and Casey talk about?
Yes.
Oh, my brother was your student too, Charles Shiro, Casey.
Oh, really? Well, hi, Casey. Yes. Okay, you know what? I think we're going to have to go back to Miss Jane. I didn't realize that I had such a brand. Hey, everybody, Miss Jane here.
They have spoken about the teachers that they both shared that they really appreciated, and your name. I'm like, wait a minute, I've heard.
And at
this
the cordon bleu, it was really just one.
Oh, really? Well,
no,
thank you for that. Yeah, there's
one,
wonderful teachers there.
But we loved you. And Mark, do you have any kind of connection to the theater at all?
I do a little bit. I was in high school productions, and I was my father was a big faculty theater person.
What does that mean, a faculty theater person?
You know, faculty productions where all the faculty would get together.
Oh, okay.
He was in them.
He was usually the lead. So he did Tevye, and, you know, I had to know all of the songs while he was practicing when I was 3
Can you
or
sing
4
one of them?
Old. Oh, I don't sing.
Come on, do it.
No, no, no.
If I were a rich man. Did
you grow up here in Austin?
No, in New Jersey.
Where?
Mars County, Marstown, Dover area.
I was born at Jersey Shore Medical Center in Neptune Township, Spring Lake.
Yeah. She's a super Jersey girl.
And I'm a Jersey boy. I guys went to Rutgers as well, so, you know.
Yeah, I went to Columbia in Chicago.
Where did you grow up?
Long MJ? Beach, California.
Long Beach.
Oh, no one is from Texas this week, really.
Oh,
no, guess
not.
Not really.
And
no,
I escaped from Long Beach. Escaped from Long Beach.
You know, I experienced Long Beach. I've always known of Long Beach and gone through it, but I actually stayed there. A friend of mine lived there, and I went to visit him when I was in L.A., and it was really quite nice. I was expecting to find it sort of a trashy Los Angeles wannabe, but it was actually really a nice little town. We went to some great dinners, and it's quite a good theater town, too.
It's a lovely place to be from.
Yeah, that's what I say about Houston, Texas in the 70s. Yes, so we went a little bass-ackwards today, so we're gonna answer the question to the trivia quiz. And just to give MJ and Mark a little background, Sunday in the Park with George was a musical by Stephen Sondheim. They were our guest today. And it's based on the George Seurat painting.
Sunday afternoon on the island of the Grand Jacques.
Right. So do y'all remember that?
Ferris Bueller Day Off, the picture that they're staring at.
So we had a trivia question based on that we're going to answer right now. So we'll repeat the question.
Okay. While researching Seurat, Sondheim realized that pointillism had an interesting parallels in music and reflected that in the score. Seurat's love of color also comes through in many lyrics, many of which describe the painter at work. Which color is mentioned most often? A, purple, B, yellow, C, green, D, red, E, blue.
I love that C is green. Sea green, get
sea
it?
Sea green, yeah, I know.
Do you have a guess, or would you think that it could be anything?
I would
MJ?
Guess purple.
Purple, MJ says purple. Mark?
I kind of guessed green.
Mark's saying green. I was going somewhere else, but all the cast of Sunday in the Park with George nodded when they said red, so I'm going with red.
Okay. Did they all nod yes to red? I was reading, they all so nodded I couldn't yes figure to red. Out which one they all did red. And it was funny, the last number they did, they were singing all the colors, and I was trying to count, but they were all the same, so I was like, oh. But my guess was, I was...
Well, but you had the answer.
No, but I looked at the answer. I just looked at the answer.
Okay, what was your guess?
I guessed blue.
Okay.
And
so
it's
all
E,
different.
Blue is the dominant color in Sunday, followed by red.
Okay.
Then green, then yellow, and then purple.
Yeah, purple next. Doesn't...
So someone actually counted the order of the colors, too.
Purple doesn't really work well as a lyric.
I'm just saying. I thought green because of all the grass in the photo, but then I thought blue because it just seems to rhyme with more lyrics.
Yeah, it's more. It seems to me to be more of a practicality thing, and that's why I knew it wasn't purple.
Yeah,
it'd be like chartreuse. Not going to be chartreuse.
I just went with my
either.
Favorite color.
Purple is purple's the color of change. Purple's a good color.
Yeah. Well, that's a few of my favorite things. Well, this was a very short. Backstage at Offstage,
but
I'm so happy that you guys joined us. MJ, Jane Nichols.
We hijacked a bit of Another Bottle Down.
Mark
Reshack,
Another Bottle Down.
Yeah,
so you are on Wednesdays at...
Wednesdays at 2:30.
2:30
on
KOOP 91.7. It streams live at KOOP.org. We're saying this because the people that are listening to this are on a podcast and may not necessarily listen to the radio station.
And I have a podcast as well. You can go to anotherbottledownradio.com.
Anotherbottledownradio.com. Is it available on iTunes and Stitcher?
It is available on iTunes.
There you go. So
you could just have a party down.
So here's what we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you to
we
do this.
We're going
to
tell you.
Go to iTunes, search for Another Bottle Down, search for Offstage and On the Air, and subscribe to both of them. Do you have a podcast?
I do not.
You should.
I do Swebinars.
Swebinars. Yeah, how do we find out about your Swebinar?
Well, a Swebinar is an SWE webinar. So I do webinars several times a week that, well, you know what webinars
yes,
are.
Yes, I do.
And I do them for my employer, the Society of Wine Educators. So lovely. That's why we call them Swebinars. Get it?
Swebinars.
Get it?
I do want to do a quick pitch. You probably won't see it today, but at Ground Floor Theater, we have a reading of a new show by Megan Thornton tonight. We have a one-man play by Alejandro Garza that's Friday and Saturday. And there's also, I just need to say that Weird City Theater is doing a production of The House on Haunted Hill.
Whoa.
And this is the 1959 version. I had no idea there was a 2000 and some odd version because I didn't know any of them. But there's a really hokey...
I have to tell you, when I was there doing the body stuff and they were rehearsing mm-hmm. in the other room, I was enjoying myself thoroughly with the screams and the cackles and the listening to rehearsal.
So they open in, I believe, first week. I think it's October 7th that they open. And so everybody should check that out. And then Rocky Horror Show after that.
And where could they get all that information?
They can get information by that. They must go to groundfloortheater.org because we can do calls to action on
the podcast.
Tell
them what to do, Lisa.
You must go to groundfloortheater.org.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, so if I were a rich man, I'd be listening to this song right now as we say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I see my wife, my Goldie, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin. Supervising meals to our heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's.